I thought I was scared. That changed. All right. If you would, open your Bibles to Psalms 119. And we're going to look at we're going to start in verse 9. I've kind of, VBS, we spent the week here on these verses, and then on our camping trip we did, and we had some devotions on that, and I've kind of been stuck in it right here doing a lot of studying just on between verses 9 and 16. And we're going to look at these, but this is going to be different than what I've did at the camping trip and all that. I've been focusing on the word cleanse, but today we're going to look at it in a different direction. But to start out, we have 50 days, 8 hours, 58 minutes, and 45 seconds until our revival meeting starts. And the good thing is, we get to choose how we will prepare for that. Will we wait 50 days, 8 hours, 58 minutes, and 29 seconds, and then say, okay, I want revival? Or will we start now, preparing for that time? We could have revival way before the 50 days, 8 hours, and 58 minutes comes. We can have that. Some of us will, some of us won't. Yeah, I was thinking this morning, I teach a lot in junior church on the verses where Paul tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he gives us that choice. We can do it here or we can do it from the pits of hell. Well, we're going to have a meeting in 50 days, 8 hours and 57 minutes, and will that meeting be a 3-day meeting? Or will that be a continuance of revival in your life? And that's the choice that we have. And when Brother David asked me to teach and I was going to be the kickoff, that was kind of, we need to start now. Well, we needed to start last week, but we need to start now. We don't need to wait a month and say, well, I guess revival's coming. But if you would, let's read the Psalms. Psalms 119. Brother Duane was teaching in our Sunday school class, and he was teaching through this. And I was kind of halfway paying attention, and he came to verse 11, and verse 11 is the very familiar verse. I'd say that most people have memorized verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Anybody that is taught, anybody that, you know that verse. Well, that caught my ear when Brother Duane was teaching. I'm like, well, why is that there? So I went back and I started reading in verse 9, and that's where we'll start. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He asks that question. And the good thing is he doesn't just leave you hanging. He's going to tell you how to cleanse your way. He says, by taking heed thereto according to the word of God. Take heed to the word of God. Listen to it. Pay attention to it. Take heed. Some of us take heed to the laws of the road and obey them. Some of us take heed to the rules and regulations in our workplace and obey them. We need to take heed to the word of God. He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Not half-hearted, not on Sunday, with my whole heart. Now, we're talking about cleansing our way. He says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. If you don't take heed to God's word, you don't know what his commandments are, so therefore, you don't know if you're wandering or not. Then he says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." And that's the key to the first two verses right there. Hiding God's word in your heart so you don't wander and so you can seek after Him with your whole heart. If you haven't hid God's word in your heart, you're not going to seek after Him. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in the statutes. I will not forget thy word." At verse 15, "I will meditate in thy precepts." As a younger fella, there for a while it was emphasized, or at least in my life, it was emphasized, you need to read your Bible, you need to read your Bible, you need to read your Bible through every year. You need to read your Bible through every year. So I said, okay, I'll do that. So I got one of those little papers and charts, and every day I'd sit down, I'd read my 4, 5, 6 chapters a day, and I would check it off and check it off and check it off. And if somebody would have asked me during the day, "What did you read today?" I would have said, "I read the Bible." I might have even been able to tell them what section of the Bible I read. But if they would have asked me specifically, "What did you read?" I didn't have a clue. I was reading chapters. I could not meditate in His precepts, because I read chapters. And the Lord kind of convicted me of that later on. So then I started reading, and I would read a verse or two, and then I would ponder that. But I have a really bad habit of reading. When I read, I'll read every third or fourth word, get the general gist of it, and go on. So then I'm still missing out. And I don't know how long ago it was, but I can remember the passage of Scripture, Ephesians. We use Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 for witnessing. We've got that hid in our heart. We've got that down pat. One day, I read Ephesians 1 through 7. I ain't got over that yet. There's a lot of good stuff right there. And the Lord said, "Now you're getting it. I gave you my word. I didn't give you chapters. I didn't give you verses. I gave you my word. Read the words." I think quality is better than quantity. Read the words. Even if it's only two or three verses, but at the end of, when you're done, you can actually meditate on those precepts that you've read. I kind of spun my wheels in the mud for several years, didn't go anywhere, didn't learn anything. But, man, I could say I read my Bible through in a year. So, what I want to look at today, verse 9, he says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" I've talked a lot lately in the last couple of months about anywhere that I've gone about that word cleansing. Today we're going to look at our way. What is our way, and what would our way include? First of all, and this one is, it's amazing what, when you study it out, God's Word, what we say, how we communicate. I knew there was a lot in God's Word about our speech and what we say and what we should say and what we shouldn't say. But part of our way that we need to cleanse is our communication, what we say. And these days, what we say is more than just what comes out of our mouth. With social media and all the avenues there are to communicate without ever talking to anyone, we really need to be careful about what we say. In the olden days, it's great getting old. In the olden days, you didn't, at least people had to wait till they get home to pick up the telephone to start talking about you. Right? It isn't that way anymore. So we need to be careful about the way that we communicate. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look in, starting in verse 5 here. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. I can't say that word. But what that means is, in a more general sense, the converting of carnal the coveting of carnal things, or an irregular appetite for worldly good, inclination for unlawful enjoyments. That's what that word that I can't say, concupiscence. And then it says, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now, there's that word but. We're going to do an about face. We're going another direction. But now, ye also put off all these. Put them off. Put them away. Take them off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. He gives you a list of things to put off, and two of them have to deal with what comes out of your mouth. Evil communications and lying. Let's turn over to, while we're here, let's turn over to Ephesians 4. And verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, that be that ye have heard him and have not been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, and he may have to give to him that needeth. So, and then the next one, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So, there's just two places. There's a couple places in Proverbs, the things that God hates, and there's seven of them, and three of them have to deal with what we say. James talks about it. Now, James says, And I've had this verse on my desk for a lot of years. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. That's a lesson that all of us need to learn. Because when we speak too fast without hearing, that's when we get in trouble. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. I'm a logical kind of a person. God gave me 2 ears and 1 mouth. I should hear twice as much as what I say. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Let's turn over and look at James. There's a verse here that when I hear somebody that, oh, I go to church and I do this, and then you hear them how they talk during the week. I gotta find James. If I wasn't shaking so bad, I could probably find it easier. James 3. And we know that James talks a lot about the tongue. Let's look at verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And we've all met those people that just love to spew that deadly poison, whether you want to hear it or not. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therein curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. That's just plain as can be. That's just plain. This is the verse that I think of. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? How are you known? With sweetness or bitterness? On Sunday, oh, how I love Jesus, we have the sweet water. On Monday, it may not be so sweet. So, there's a lot that how we're not supposed to talk. Let's go back over to Psalms. Psalms 141, and I'll move on from this one. I've figured out that I could spend 2 months teaching on speech. The Bible has a lot to say, not only about what not to say, but what we should say and how we should say it. Psalms 141, verse 3. When we wake up in the morning, before we get out of bed, we should memorize this verse. Before we get our eyes open really good, we should say, Lord, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. That should be our prayer daily. I think Miss Teresa calls that her spiritual duct tape. But if we start our day with that, the rest of our speech should take care of itself. But not only speech here, but it's social media is a killer. You can do a lot of damage because people don't know the intent. They don't know the attitude. You know, when you're talking to one another, you can see the facial expressions. You know what the intent of something is. Through a text message, you can read things into a text message that aren't there. We've lost the art of talking to each other. And that's a bad thing. So, we should cleanse our way. We should cleanse our way of communication. We should cleanse our speech. And I'm not talking about just foul language. I would be willing to say that about everybody in here, you don't have a problem with that. But what about talking bad about each other? What about the evil communication? What about tearing people down? Even whether they be brethren or not brethren. It's that evil communication. If it's not edifying, if it's not uplifting people, we ought not be saying it. Again, it's nice to be old. Some days. The older folks would say, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. And that is a good lesson to learn. We need to learn just when to keep our mouth shut. Moving on. The next way is where we go. Where we go. Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Psalms 119:133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Our steps, where we go, what we do, are they ordered by the Lord? And it goes back to his word. If you're not in his word, you don't know where he wants you to go and what not to do. Sometimes we can end up in places that we don't really want to be in. As a Christian, as somebody that professes to be saved and loves the Lord, there's times that we can end up places that we don't want to be, but we really need to be cautious. Several years ago, I was working a job. We were working late, and the boss said, let's go get something to eat. Well, we all packed up and we went. I didn't ask, where are we going? And we pulled in, and I was riding with somebody, and we pulled in and we ended up at Hooters. And I'm like, how did I get here? I said, I would never come to a place like this. But where we go, do we know that we shouldn't go some places? Have we got enough of God's word in us and foundation? And do we question it? Do we go the wrong places? Are our steps ordered by the Lord? Where we go, or where we don't go. See, there's two sides of everything that we're going to look at. The Bible talks a lot about what not to say, but it talks a lot about what to say and how to say it. He tells us not to go places and to be cautious of things, but what about the places that we don't go that we should? That would be church, special services, revival meetings, the things that we should do and we don't. Either way, it's wrong. So we need to cleanse where we go. The next one would be cleansing what you see. Cleansing what you see. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That one's a hard one to read. If you've got your eyes on the things of this world, they're temporal, they're temporary, they're not going to last. You put your eyes on the Lord, and that's eternal. On the things of God, on the works of God, on supporting the works of God. I also think about laying up our treasures in heaven. Where is our priority? Is it on what we can gain here? Or is it on helping the cause of Christ, reaching souls? Where's our priorities at? What do we see? Do we see this world? We should all be familiar with the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well. And after that whole conversation, she went back and she said in verse 29 of John 4, come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Come, see a man. That's what we should be seeing. Amen. Come see a man. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, he was blinded, but he received his sight and had the scales removed from his eyes. Sometimes we need the scales removed from our eyes. I've prayed for several people over the years to be saved, and that's what I'll pray. Lord, take the scales from their eyes. Let them see Jesus. But that's what we need to be looking toward. Now, there's a lot of things of this world with all, again, with all the electronics and all the information and all the garbage that we can put into our eyes. But where's your focus? Cleansing our way on what we see. Cleansing the way on what we see. Do we see temporal or do we see eternal? Where's your priority? Then the next one, how are we doing? We're doing pretty good. What you hear. What do you expose yourself to hear? What you expose yourself to see. It's all going in the brain. And the devil's going to call it up at the worst time ever. What goes in. Let's turn over to Romans 10. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 10. And verse 13. Familiar passage of Scripture. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That right there is a blessing. It's only been a couple of months since I got a hold of that. You know, teaching junior church, I would teach that God dealt with the Jews before the cross and He's dealing with the Gentiles after the cross. And that ain't so. God's dealing with whosoever. We're in a time right now of whosoever. Not necessarily just the Gentiles. It's a whosoever. Verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and good things. If your faith is weak and you don't believe and you have a hard time trusting God, it's because you're not hearing the right things. You're not hearing His Word. How shall they believe in Him whom they've not heard? So, we have to be careful what we listen to. What are we filling our mind with? I know that I'm guilty. I listen to too much sports talk radio going down the road. I'm guilty of that. I listen to the right music. I'll listen to preaching. My vehicle, I can load up a thumb drive and stick it in and I can have a variety of anything I want to listen to. I'll download chapters of the Bible and just listen to them over and over. I'll listen to a message 20 or 30 times. Just repeat over and over and over. What are we listening to? What do we spend most of our time listening to? If we want to start having revival, and revival starts with each one of us. It doesn't start with this whole big group in here. this 2,000 people that are in front of me. It doesn't start there. Yeah, just lied. In my eyes, it starts in our own heart. It's an individual. And it's a revival fire for a reason. You get on fire for God, and that fire will spread to somebody next to you. Somebody close to you. That revival fire. That's the direction that we need to go over the next 50 days. Is start cleansing our way and making things right so we can have revival. We can have that stirring. Psalms 119 and verse 12, part of our text, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Do we have that teachable spirit? Do we want to be taught? Preacher preached on that one time about having a teachable spirit. And I just, right afterwards, was like, okay, preacher, how do we get them to have a teachable spirit? And he says, well, it's nothing you can do. It's the person. I said, oh. I was going to go that direction. I was going to try and you know, work on that. But it's a mindset. Do you have a teachable spirit? We need to cleanse our way in what we say, in where we go, in what we see, and what we hear. And then also, and then what do we think about? That verse again, Psalms 119:15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. What are we thinking about? What do we spend our time thinking about? Now, when we're at school, we're at work, we're doing something, our mind is there. Your mind is mainly idle, and I think most of you can agree that drive. If you have a long ways to drive, you have nothing to do but think. And what are you thinking about? Are you putting in the right things to even think about the right things? During church service, when the preacher's preaching, what are you thinking about? Are you with them or are you somewhere else? What are you thinking about? I will meditate in thy precepts. Do we take time to think about his word? Now, preacher has said back when he was working his job, he'd have that 3x5 card in his pocket with a Bible verse on it. And he would pull it out and look at it. That's a really good idea. That's a good idea. I did that for a while when I was working. If I was to do that now, and I probably should, I'd probably have to carry that same verse for 3 or 4 weeks before I got her down pat. Remembering things just ain't as easy as it used to be. But what do we think about? Let's turn over to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Another familiar passage of Scripture, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Mia had the opportunity to work in our VBS, so she's heard a lot about Psalms 119. She went camping with us, so she's heard a lot about Psalms 119. I learned about Romans 12 when I worked at a Christian camp, and then every Monday, we would saddle up the horses, go to the top of the mountain, we would camp out, and come back on Tuesday. I worked with the horses. Well, the counselor over that, every Monday, he taught on Romans 12, 1 and 2. So after hearing that for 8-10 times, it sunk in. says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transform the renewing of your mind. I was going to try and set up a demonstration today, but I didn't think I would have time. I've done it in junior church a couple of times. I'll take a vase of dirty water, very dirty, can't see through it, mud in it, and I'll have a bucket underneath it, and I'll have clean water. And I'll start pouring that clean water in while I'm talking, and just keep pouring it in, and that dirt just keeps coming out and coming out. And before we're done, we have a vase of clean water. That's exactly how our mind is. If you're not doing the first things that we talked about, and you're pouring that dirt in your mind, and through your eyes, through your ears, and all that dirt is going in, and you're never putting anything clean in, your mind's going to be filthy. It has to be purged. It has to be cleaned out. God's Word will clean our mind. The reading of God's Word, the hearing of God's Word, hearing it preached, hearing the songs. The songs, we can cleanse our mind in a lot of different ways. So, the cleansing of our mind. But everything else has to be right in order before you can cleanse it. Anybody that has been in classes with me over the years, I love my mother to death, and I'm a real strong believer that nobody's completely worthless. They can always be used a bad example. Well, that would be my mother. But anyway, this time it's a pretty good example for her. She took a spell in her life where she spent way too much time watching Fox News. And she would call me and she would be all upset. The economy's going to crash and we're going to be taken over and this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's got to. All this has to happen. And she would be all upset, and she's like, oh, you need to be buying gold, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. And I says, here, this is what you need. You need to not spend so much time behind the enemy lines.
Right. Amen.
I said, you're putting way too much junk in that head of yours. So I think maybe the Lord might have used that, because she came back to me a little bit later. She said, here's what I'm going to do. For every hour I watch Fox News, I'm going to read my Bible. I said, that works. And now she reads her Bible through every year. And you talk to her about something that has happened and she can take you to it. She will read her Bible. She doesn't necessarily study it, but she reads it. She's saved. I'll get to spend eternity with my mom, which is a good thing. She's a little off on some of her beliefs right now. How much time do we spend behind enemy lines exposing our eyes and ears and thought patterns to things that are not related to God? Versus how much time do we spend cleaning and filtering? You know, they put an oil filter on a car for a reason. It's to catch all the dirt and oil. We have God's Word, not chapters and verses. Word. Read each word. Cleansing of our mind. Philippians We're close by. Let's turn over to Philippians. Philippians 4. And we'll start in verse 6. 5. We'll start in verse 5. Philippians 4 and verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Don't worry. See, I shared that with my mom too. I said, that you're worrying way too much about things you can't control. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, if you notice, though, in Philippians 3:1, he says, finally, my brethren. So this was our second finally. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. That takes care of TV. Whatsoever things are honest. There goes politics. There goes a lot of your social media. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, there goes Fox News, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Some people say that they can't read this Bible and understand what it says, and I just don't get it. I'm not that smart, but that list of things to think on seems pretty easy to me. In Psalms 119, he tells us how to, he says, how do you cleanse your way? And then he gives you six verses on how to do it. Think on the right things. And it says, whatsoever things are pure and just and be of virtue. There goes gossip. Somebody wants to fill your ear full of something about somebody else. That's not pure. That's not just. That doesn't have virtue. You need to get rid of that. Think on these things. We got just a couple more minutes. We're gonna go one more place. Psalms 119:10. With my whole heart have I sought thee, let me not wander from thy commandments. What are your goals? What are your goals? Do you need to cleanse and change your goals? Right now I have children that were raised in church, but right now their goal is to get as much money, make as much money, and do as much as they can on earth. What are your goals? Do you need to cleanse your goals? This is a good goal. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Colossians 3:1-3. If ye then be risen with Christ, speak those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ in God. Where's our affections? Where's our goals? Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So, where's your goals? Do they need to be cleansed? Your goals won't be cleansed until everything else is cleansed. There's a sequence of events here. There's an order. So to sum up real quick, it's a self-evaluation for each one of us. Where do we stand? What needs to be cleansed so we can have revival? My prayer is that we would get out of the way and the Holy Ghost would have liberty to work in our services. But are we hindering our services by not being cleansed? So where are we at? We need to evaluate and fix areas that are broken. We need to maintain areas that are not broken. Sometimes we try to fix areas that are broken, and by doing so, we neglect what we've been doing that kept some of us going down the right path. So at the end, will we have a revival or will we have a 3-day meeting? And it's up to us. It's not up to the man that's going to come preach. It's up to us. So over the next 50 days, if you're not going in the right path, you really need to evaluate it. Pray about it. Say, God, show me. He knows our heart. Show me where I'm going wrong. Help me to fix it. It's only by His grace and mercy that anything gets fixed. It's not anything that we can do in ourselves. It's His grace, His mercy. We can turn over the leaf, but when I rake leaves in the fall, the bottom is more nasty than the ones on top. So it's a time of self-evaluation, and what direction are you going to head over the next 50 days until our meeting starts? Are we going to support the local assembly? Or are we just going to wander through? Are we going to go to the right place or not go to the right place? So, just some thoughts. Psalms 119. I've been there for probably 2 months now over these same verses. And I just keep, I've got, I think, four or five different cards with different directions of what can be taught out of those 6 verses. All right, we're going to pray and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we do.